Good evening, and welcome to HealthBeat on WDIY. HealthBeat is a program generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the executive director here at WDIY. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Samantha Schack, the executive director of the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi. So on past episodes of HealthBeat, we have highlighted different organizations that provide key services beyond the traditional scope of healthcare. On this episode, we would like to highlight Valley Health Partners, a federally qualified health center, or FQHC lookalike, in the Lehigh Valley, that it is an important anchor of clinical and community services. We'll learn more about Valley Health Partners and the role of federally qualified health centers and the local services provided, as well as the future aspirations of providing meaningful support to the communities they serve. To discuss all things Valley Health Partners, we are pleased to welcome to HealthBeat the organization's CEO, Veronica Gonzalez, and VP of Community Impact and Engagement, Nate Boitin. Veronica and Nate, welcome to HealthBeat.
Thanks for having us.
So Veronica, let's start with you. Can you walk us through what a federally qualified health center and an FQHC lookalike is?
Sure. So federally qualified health centers, or FQHC lookalikes, or community health centers, were really all part of a national movement that started back in the 1960s with roots in both the civil rights movement and the war on poverty, and were really designed to bring primary care and preventative healthcare services to vulnerable community members that were often ignored by mainstream medicine. So it was a partnership between the federal government and community advocates that decades later has grown to be the largest and most successful primary care network in the country, with over 1,400 community health centers servicing over 32 million patients nationwide. And I do believe part of the success of community health centers is really because of their focus on value and going beyond the traditional four walls of medicine to address root causes of poor health, and always assuring the patient is at the center of their work.
So it's a federally funded network of health institutions, or for lack of a better analogy?
Yeah, so the federally qualified health center component is because we're federally regulated by HRSA. It's a federal agency. What differentiates a federally qualified health center and a federally qualified health center lookalike is federal funding. So if you are an FQHC, you do receive federal funding. If you're an FQHC lookalike, you're still governed by HRSA. You have the same program requirements. You focus on primary care and prevention for vulnerable community members, but you don't receive the federal grants.
Okay.
Veronica, Valley Health Partners was born out of community clinics that have a long history of providing valuable health care to those in Allentown. Can you share a little more about the genesis of Valley Health Partners in the Lehigh Valley and how it came to be?
Well, before I share a bit of our history, I'd like to share something you hear in the health center community, and that is if you've seen one FQHC, you have seen one FQHC. And that's because all health centers are truly community driven, and we all know every community is unique in their own way. Therefore, every health center has their own story and are designed to meet the specific needs of the population they serve. So I love our story because our roots come from over three decades of community-based care here in Allentown that very much, like the health center movement, grew from a need in the community under the umbrella of Lehigh Valley Health Network. So fast forward to 2020, when the idea of standing up a health center came up, it was a natural progression to have the eight community-based practices at the 17th Street campus that had been doing the work for over three decades transition from Lehigh Valley Health Network to Valley Health Partners. And if I can also add, it wasn't just the services offered, but also the people working at these locations, including myself, were already aligned with the mission of health centers. And so bringing those groups of colleagues together under the umbrella of a community health center movement has truly been magical. And I think we've done exactly what was intended, which was to expand programs and services to best serve our most vulnerable.
So you started under Lehigh Valley Health Network's umbrella of care, like you were part of the network. Mm-hmm.
So the eight community practices that were part of the inception of Valley Health Partners were previously under the umbrella of Lehigh Valley Health Network for over three decades.
Okay. All right. And then so bringing them out of the network and forming, was like that the formation then of Valley Health Partners?
Yep. We spin them off into a 501c3.
Got it.
That is in compliance with the HRSA program requirements.
Okay. So under the LVHN, you weren't under the HRSA requirements?
Correct. No. Oh. One of the requirements of HRSA is that the federally qualified health center cannot be owned or controlled by another entity. So we are a separate 501c3 with our own executive leadership and governance structure.
Okay.
But the beauty of it is that they've gotten to build on the history of being in Allentown. They weren't starting from scratch. You were able to sort of take that history of serving the community and those who had been in and working with that community for a long time, and then continue to build that under a new structure.
Okay.
Yeah, and very much aligned with the model of health centers, focusing on vulnerable members of the community, providing care regardless of ability to pay, wraparound support to address root causes of poor health. That work had been happening there for quite some time. And so it was a nice natural progression to transition to the federally qualified health center model.
Veronica, can you describe what HRSA stands for?
Sure. Health Resources Services Administration. So they're the federal agency that governs all community health centers. So we have a compliance manual, specific program requirements we have to abide by. HRSA does site visits. We have annual certifications, a governing body similar to, you know, Joint Commission, Department of Health, et cetera.
So Veronica, can you walk us through the clinical services that VHP provides and discuss the geographic areas that you are currently serving?
Sure. Like all health centers, we focus on primary care and preventative services, which include adult and pediatric primary care, OBGYN, dental, vision, behavioral health, chiropractic medicine. We also have street medicine, the Veteran Health Program. We primarily service the Allentown community, with the exception of our street medicine and Veteran Health Program that are valley-wide. But we are getting ready to expand to the south side of Easton and Monroe County, where we will be the first community health center servicing a more rural population.
Nate, in addition to all of the wide array of clinical services, can you share some of the outreach and other non-healthcare services that VHP provides and talk about how these complement the clinical services?
You know, there's a couple of pieces there. So one of the things HRSA looks for is for community health centers to make a good faith effort to work with community partners. So that's, you know, community-based organizations. Sometimes it's faith-based organizations. It depends on what's in your local community. And we're proud to have over 120 community partnerships, many of which we're working together quite regularly. And like, shout out to the pool fellowship. Many of us are pool fellows, right? So it makes that work easier. So, you know, for instance, our 6th Street site, which is at the old Morning Call building downtown Allentown, we're co-located in that building with Community Services for Children, who we work together super closely, not just, you know, referring kids over to our service and vice versa, but we do outreach events and sort of support each other in ways that make sense for both organizations. So because the Valley is so rich with a robust amount of community-based organizations, it makes it really easy to sort of collaborate. On top of that, we have what HRSA calls enabling services. So that includes some of that wraparound service that Veronica talked about. So we have social workers, we have community health workers, there's folks in the practices, embedded in the practices, doing some of that wraparound care. We have live medical interpreters on staff. We have financial counselors hooking folks up with insurance and other services that they may need. So all of that stuff happens in the practices themselves to give that sort of whole person care.
We talk a lot about different sectors working together, and everything that you just mentioned is about healthcare working with other community-based organizations and other sectors. And I think that's what's so unique and wonderful about the FQHC model in terms of providing really critical healthcare services that people lack access to, but then also layering that in with a lot of the community-based assets that are around that as well.
Do you add services as you identify the need for them in the community, Nate? Because you just rattled off a lot of different things that are included beyond the clinical care.
Yeah, so there's sort of two approaches there, right? And Veronica can certainly speak more intelligently to the clinical expansion than I could. But in terms of the community side, we consider ourselves a community-based organization, right? Like our board of directors needs to be a majority patients, consumers of the health center services. So they really help us drive the direction of the health center. And in that, we look for partnerships that benefit both organizations. So we have partnerships with Allentown School District. We have partnerships with Community Services for Children. We have partnerships with, in our street medicine, our veteran health program has dozens of partnerships that sort of serve their population. So it's really looking to grow and expand our reach and the partner organization's reach, right? Like it's sort of just that collaboration approach, I think is vital to our success.
Can I ask about the street medicine program? Because I've heard it being talked about in other spaces, and I think it's just such an incredible thing that you're doing. And if you could just give like a brief overview of when you started, how this came about, and what the program does.
So yeah, so the street medicine program actually was started, again, that was one of the programs that transitioned over from LVHN. It started, I want to say 2015 or 2016, with a small team, literally one guy, Brett Feldman, who's now in California doing street medicine in LA. He's one of the sort of pioneering street medicine movement folks. And they do primary care where folks are. So that means soup kitchens, encampments, clinics, like wherever they can provide care, they will provide care to their patients. It's now a team of around 10 folks. So there's physician's assistants. They have a nurse practitioner. They have a community health worker. They have a criminal justice navigator. They have a certified recovery specialist. And they have some support folks that support the team as well. And it's, I mean, you're right. They're an amazing group of individuals. They do incredible work every day. They have a variety of things that they do. So again, in addition to primary care in the field, they also have a medical respite program so that folks who are unsheltered, who may be recuperating from things that you or I would recuperate at home for. So maybe you have a joint replacement or you're on cancer chemotherapy treatment, things that you could do at home, but they don't necessarily have a safe place to be. The doctor may not perform that surgery. They may not put them on that treatment. So we have a medical respite program where we temporarily house folks in hotels so that they can get recuperative care. A nurse goes out and makes sure that they're on track with their care. And on the partnerships front, we are looking to partner with Ripple Community Inc., who's located in Allentown, who were gifted a church that they're renovating, and they are going to provide us with 3 permanent respite rooms, which is a game changer for us because right now we're using philanthropic dollars to fund that program. And so that will really alleviate a lot of the housing costs there. So that's what that team does day in, day out. They are just a remarkable group of medical professionals that I am super proud to work with.
One of the other services that you mentioned that you provide beyond just the Allentown region is veterans services. Can you talk a little bit about what those services are that you provide and the groups that you partner with?
Sure. So our veteran health program has a much larger reach than just here in Allentown. They are valley-wide and are actually already servicing the Monroe community as well. And really, our veteran health program was designed to address the unique circumstances of men and women who have performed military service. So we have a group of colleagues that are deeply knowledgeable in the veteran care as it relates to the Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Defense benefits that are unique and require navigation and coordination. And they have really a holistic approach to understanding the needs of our veterans and how do they help them navigate the system and their care. So you don't have to be a patient of Valley Health Partners to seek services from our veteran health program. It's really an outreach program that we have for veterans across the Valley.
And how does that work with Veterans Affairs? Because, you know, the VA is supposed to be provide services, health services to the vets. Is this sort of a tag-on program or it's not a replacement, I guess?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, we're more wraparound support services, okay. And we actually partner with the Veterans Affairs.
Got it.
Exactly. The VA is one of the Veteran Health Program partners. So we actually have a veteran service officer on site who can act on behalf of the VA in navigating some of the and coordinating some of the benefits for veterans. Because what we find, what that team finds, I don't want to take any credit from what they do. What they find a lot is that veterans, one, are not prone to ask for help, and two, are not plugged into a lot of the benefits that they are entitled to. And so they help them do some of that case management and navigation. In addition to, so they do that stuff. They work with the VA, they work with sort of the official organizations, but they also do things like provide massage therapy and yoga classes, and they work with other partners to just, again, our vision at the health center is to do whole person care, right? So it's really about what that veteran needs and figuring out how we can support it.
Can we also talk about mental health a little bit? Because you mentioned that that's a really big need. What are you seeing and how are you providing the care? I mean, I'm hearing so much that there's just such a shortage of access to mental health providers, and especially those who don't have health care. It can be extremely difficult to navigate the system and find somebody who can help you. How do you play into that whole picture?
Yeah, so we're a community health center because we focus on primary care. We have really looked at how do we integrate behavioral health in the primary care setting. And so we've had a lot of success in that space. We currently have an integrated behavioral health specialist in all of our primary care practices, including our school-based health centers. So they're licensed clinical social workers. And the beauty behind that is a lot of the feedback we have received from members of the community is around the stigma with mental health. And so many of our patients are saying, I am so happy there is a behavioral health specialist in my primary care doctor's office where I don't have to tell my spouse or a family member that I'm going to see a mental health professional. Instead, I'm just going to see my primary care doctor. And so really removing the stigma and allowing us to treat the disorder within the primary care setting, where the primary care doctor can also partner with the behavioral health specialist to make sure that we're treating both physical and mental health. Again, that holistic approach. There is still a lack of access when the patient needs higher acute care, perhaps a psychiatrist, et cetera. So we make sure we have those community partnerships in place to bridge those gaps. But today, our primary success has been with the integration of behavioral health in the primary care setting.
One of the things we often hear in healthcare space is people not feeling as though services are for them or that they can afford the service. And something that I know is really important to the FQHC model is that you will serve anyone regardless of insurance status. So if someone is listening to this and knows someone who needs access to care or needs access to care themselves, how do they get in touch with you? And can you share just how true that is, that it truly is for everyone?
Absolutely. I mean, to the middle part of your question, you would call Valley Health Partners at 610-969-4200 and talk to one of our call center colleagues. I mean, so yes, we do see a range, right? Like in terms of connecting to insurance, right? So when I talked about enabling services a little earlier, one of those components are what, you know, our financial counseling team. So if someone comes in and they're uninsured, the front desk staff are all trained to sort of just run through some additional questions to do a little bit of screening, and then we'll refer to our financial counselors. So what happens is the financial counselors can do a number of things. So one, they are penny certified assisters, meaning they can help folks get connected to a marketplace insurance plan if they're looking to get insurance. If they are uninsured and can't afford the care, we have a sliding fee scale. So they'll work through that process. It's, you know, it's an honor-based system about what that's based on income, household size. And then there's a sliding scale for services based on how many folks you live with, right? So we try to get it as affordable as possible. That's why we sort of famously say we will provide care regardless of ability to pay, because that is true. So whether you are commercially insured, whether you are on a Medicaid insurance, whether you are under or uninsured, you will get the same care, and we will try to make it as affordable as possible.
Nate, at LPPIH, when we first started to explore partnering with agencies and residents in Franklin Park, BHP was among those really important assets and anchors that factored into the equation for us, knowing that Franklin Park is right in the backyard of Valley Health Partners. What role do you see VHP playing in the community development work that's occurring in Franklin Park? And what are some early successes that you have been a part of that you could point to?
Sure. So, I mean, I think, you know, we're sort of participating in what I'm sure has been discussed on this show many times, the work happening in Franklin Park, driven by folks like the Cohesion Network and you folks at Pool Institute, our friends at Ripple Church and Ripple Community Inc., right? So our community health worker attends the community conversations there. We do outreach in that area. We participate on Community Services for Children's Uplift program, which is an after-school program, enrichment program for kids, so they have a safe place to go after school. So we're kind of like in and around there. And again, we provide healthcare. So like, we're not experts in the sectors that are outside of healthcare, but we can certainly participate and feel, you know, make folks understand that we are part of that community and they can come get great care at VHP. But we also want to be out in the community, sort of talking to folks and being part of that community development work that's happening there. So that's definitely been a success for us. I mean, I think not just from folks understanding the services that we provide, but also sort of getting our folks out in the community. Because one of the things that we love about VHP is, you know, we employ folks from the community. Our health center looks like the community that we serve. And so folks are really eager to get out there because they're serving their friends, neighbors, families, right? So they see that reflected in that neighborhood level work. So it's been awesome to see the last couple of years. Did I actually answer your question?
Okay. You did. And actually, the thing I was going to add is the Uplift story is a great one. Kim Brown, who's one of the pediatricians at Valley Health Partners, was able to come to a session of Uplift and made fruit salad with all the kids and talked to them about eating healthy and made it fun and interactive for them. And so that's a great example of where we can bring healthcare services and healthcare education out into the community in a way that works with what's already happening out there.
Yeah, I got, I found out about that via a barrage of text message photos that I got from a very excited Dr. Brown that she was able to make that happen. So it was awesome.
And all the kids were smiling and had so much fun eating all the fruit.
It's great.
This is an open question to either Veronica or Nate. What would you describe as some of the biggest lessons and takeaways for having a FQHC lookalike anchored in the community over the past few years? And what are the challenges that lie ahead?
Yeah, so I mean, I can take the lessons and takeaways portion of that. I think, you know, there's a couple of things. One, community health centers, just we've learned that we provide a vital sort of piece of infrastructure in the community and that this safety net model really works. There are three community health centers in the area. We know that the need is great enough that we don't have to compete for patients and we can collaborate. We can refer to each other for services that one or other may not provide. So it really is a true safety net and one that works. And to that end, another way we can tell that it works is it's had solid bipartisan support at the local, state, and federal level for the last 60 or so years. I mean, that's a real testament to the program. If anything can get bipartisan support for that long a period of time, you know that it's worthwhile and that it's working. And to Veronica's point earlier, I mean, the FQHCs are part of a movement. Like what you realize working in this space as you talk to other folks at other FQHCs is that you really have a shared experience. Like, yes, your FQHC is very unique. Your community health center is always unique, but you just have some shared experiences taking care of vulnerable folks. And that sort of piece of community makes you feel like you've got colleagues all across the country, which has been a really cool experience. Part of the department I oversee is our marketing department. And like, my job is to make sure that people have a different understanding of what clinic means, right? Like when you go to a community health center, they're known as clinics. People think sort of poorly of clinics, but we provide amazing care with amazing facilities, and it can be done. And so that's one of the takeaways that I like to leave people with is that, you know, you don't have to be ashamed coming to a clinic. You can get the same amazing care that you would get anywhere else. And again, that speaks to the running start that we had, right, in the beginnings of these practices. And so it's been a really cool to be a part of that work.
That's part of the movement of health centers, right, is health equity, that we're providing equitable care in an equitable space. And I think one of the beauties of health centers is that they're also governed by members of the community. So one of our program requirements is that 51% of our board of directors must consist of consumer board members that are assuring the health center is responsive to the needs of the population we serve. So one of the lessons for me has been how this model truly offers a governance structure that not only advances the mission of health centers and servicing the community, but allows the health center to be led by the population we serve, which is really empowering, right, for any community. In terms of challenges, I know you asked about challenges, you know, that lie ahead. And I mean, we're seeing a lot of financial hardship, housing needs, food insecurity within the community we serve. We're still recovering from the pandemic. We're very much in a mental health crisis. And so really, I think making sure we can balance the growing demands with the challenges within the healthcare industry as a whole will certainly be a challenge for us as well.
Veronica, one of the cool things I've heard about from Valley Health Partners recently is the vision pilot that you are underway with the Allentown School District. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came to be?
Absolutely. So we have a wonderful partnership with the Allentown School District. You know, they're servicing a large number of children here in the community, as we do at Valley Health Partners. We have two school-based health centers and continue to meet with the district to understand what are the needs, what are the gaps. And that's what we're here to do from a community health center standpoint. And most recently this year, they had shared with us some gaps in vision screenings with over 2,300 students that had failed their vision screening and had not sought care. And they felt very strongly that the care needed to be served within the four walls of the school, right? Meeting the children where they are. And so I brought that back to the team at Valley Health Partners. And the beauty of Valley Health Partners is also the people here, their commitment, their creativity to serve the community. And so our medical director of vision, Dr. Nicole Williams, said, well, when I lived in Philly, I actually went to the schools with portable equipment and completed the vision screenings within the schools. And so we proposed that to the district and put together the MOU and order the equipment and set up the model and have officially gone live. We've had three sessions thus far. Are able to provide the vision screenings, order the glasses for the children, you know, and place the glasses within a week or two and close that gap.
That's amazing.
As we wrap up today, Veronica and Nate, can you touch on the future vision for Valley Health Partners and the role the health center looks to play moving forward in the growing number of communities Valley Health Partners serves?
Yeah, I mean, for us, our true north is to be a leader in health equity. And so we envision us continuing to enhance our services here in Allentown, but also entering spaces where medically underserved communities are not being served by a community health center. Really seek to understand the needs in those communities the way health centers do at a grassroots level and being led by them. And so as we understand those root causes of poor health in that specific area, we can wrap around that community. So we have some best practices in the work we do here in Allentown and soon in the south side of Easton, Monroe County, and hopefully much more to come.
Well, thank you. With that, we are out of time. Thanks for sharing all of this information about the important work that you're doing in our community to help those in need and becoming such a trusted source of health care in the Allentown area, especially. If you would like to listen to this program again, please go to our website, wdiy.org. You can access it via the WDIY app, where HealthBeat is archived, or your favorite podcast or smart speaker platform. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, along with Samantha Schack. Thanks to Veronica and Nate. Appreciate having you here. Have a good evening.